As I said earlier, we're honored to have Mr. Bob Simmons from Clinton with us again today. He was with us several years ago speaking on behalf of the Gideons, and we're glad to have him back with us. Just in about 2 minutes of research and looking up something about the Gideons International Organization, I did find that in this past September, they distributed Bibles in a country called Kirabis. It's a group of islands between Hawaii and Australia. And this country is the 192nd country that the Gideons are responsible for in spreading God's word. So, and it went on to say that let's all be much in prayer for those people as they receive Bibles for the first time, and the other 191 countries around the world that receive God's word through the Gideons for approximately $1.32. God's word can be placed in the hands of anybody, anywhere in the world. Mr. Simmons, we appreciate what you do, and we appreciate the rest of the Gideons locally and around the world come and speak to us this morning.
Thank you, Rob. Maybe a little bit of what the Gideons are doing, are trying to do throughout this world. But I learned a lot from you. You did real good. I've never been to those two little towns up in Wisconsin, but I have heard about them and that story and how the Gideons began. Wish we had time, we could talk about Gideon. Gideon is a character in the Old Testament. And if you ever like to find out a little bit more about him, in the book of Kings, and it tells you about Gideon and how he was chosen to be the leader of the Israel nation against these vast armies and so forth. And of course he said, well, who are you choosing me for? I'm the least of the tribe, these 12 tribes, and the tribe is the least one, and I'm the least one in the tribe. So why are you picking them with me? So you never know who God chooses to do his work. But they chose Gideon, and he came through in flying colors. And anyway, I think that name Gideon was chosen because of the faith that he had in God. Because he was facing odds that were very much against him. But with the faith in God and God taking care of him, he did a real good job. And so we have the Gideon organization. I tell you, I drove up this morning, I didn't know really exactly what to do. I parked on this side over here, and there's only one car with it. And I said, am I at the wrong church? Or maybe they heard that the Gideon was going to be speaking today, so I didn't quite figure it out. But thank you for coming. It's a nice group here this morning. Another thing I want to clear up, can you hear me on the back row? I just want to make sure everybody can hear me. I was in a little church here not too long ago, and after the service was over, this elderly gentleman about my age came up to me and said, Mr. Simmons, said, it was so nice to have you with us today. We really enjoyed having you, but I didn't hear a word you said. So let's get this all straightened out, too. But, and by the way, leading the children's sermon, you were wrong. That was a sermon that you had there, and I enjoyed it. I didn't know that much about the Grinch. But you can take simple things sometimes and make something out of it, and you did a good job on that. Thank you. All right, let's get started. What I wanted to talk with you about this morning is the Gideon organization and what we're trying to do here in Clinton, South Carolina, United States, and throughout the world. And your homework was great, 192 countries. And I think that last country that was added, maybe the 91 or 92, was the country of Syria. Now, is that strange that we'd be going into a country like Syria? I think we even have a camp in Iraq. Maybe made up of 7, 8 people like that. But you say that's not much with the countries that is millions of people. But it's a start. And it's a start in these countries that they don't worship Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And probably they've taken their lives in almost like a sacrificial lamb to speak out for Christ through the Gideon organization. But they have a camp there just like we do here in Clinton. But anyway, what do we do as Gideons? Well, I like to think of it as like a business. We have a product that we distribute. And can you think of a better product than the Holy Bible, God's Word? And to make it easy to be a salesman for the Gideons, we don't charge a big price for these Bibles that we give away, because we give them away free. We don't charge a thing for these Bibles. So, I am proud to be a Gideon. And if there's others maybe in this church here that might be interested in the Gideons and might talk to me a little further about being a Gideon, I'd love to speak with you along those lines. To begin with, let me, from the Baptist hymnal, and I'm a Baptist, there's a song in there that sort of sets the stage for what I want to talk about this morning. And there's a little song in there, and it's the name of that song is Set My Soul Afire, Lord. And let me read a verse from that song. Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let my voice be heard. Listen. Charles Stanley will tell you that if you listen to him on Sunday morning. Now listen, hear me now. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour, and I'll be a witness. Fill me with thy power. Millions grope in darkness waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Now I'm not going to preach this morning because I'm not a preacher. But I believe if I was a preacher, I believe I could take those few lines there, and I believe I could build a sermon around that. Set my soul afire, Lord. And this is what the Lord wants of us. This is what Jesus wants of us. I don't think Jesus wants us to be fence straddlers. He wants us to speak out for him. Don't just agree with everybody to make them feel good and this kind of thing, but speak out for him and stand up for Jesus Christ. Don't be a fence straggler. But he wants us to be enthusiastic about what we do, and enthusiastic in our worship for him. Now, millions grope in darkness. This may be sort of hard for us to understand here, living in the Bible Belt. Why? Because we've always had a Bible, Bibles. I bet in this group here this morning, probably, I know everybody would have a Bible, and most of us would have several Bibles. We would have Bible concordances. We would have Bible dictionaries. We would have all kind of ways to try to understand the Bible. We have been in Sunday school, Bible study, since we were just small children. We've had a lot of things going on for us. And it's hard to understand that there's people in this world, not just two or three, but millions of people. There's 6.5 billion people in this world. 2 billion of them have heard of Jesus Christ. Well, and maybe not all have accepted Jesus Christ, but there's still 4 billion people out there, folks, that never heard of Jesus Christ. They've never seen a Bible. They've never heard of the plan of salvation. Can you believe that? It's just hard for us to believe. But folks, we got work to do around the Clinton area too. There's only about 62% that don't even attend church on Sunday morning. So we don't have to go across where you were talking about, Rhett, to try to get people to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, that's a big number for a place like Clinton, but it's the truth. There's another song that sort of goes along with what I'm going to talk about is I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's holy word. So it's hard for us to imagine that there's people in this world that's never heard of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 tells us, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bear, that it may give seed to the sower, maybe you mentioned the sower a while ago, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Look at these little Bibles that we pass out. $1.32. Looks small and insignificant. We find them in all over the place. We find them in Goodwill stores. We find them probably in a lot of chest of drawers at home or bedroom drawers and so forth. Some we give out or never read. But somewhere down the line, they may be retrieved from that drawer, and they may start reading, and it would accomplish that what he soweth. And they come to know Jesus Christ from that little Bible. And I'm going to tell you some stories about that just a little bit later, if you let me. So we ask ourselves a question this morning. How many million more souls are to pass into eternity without hearing the name of Jesus? We feel pretty comfortable here in Clinton. Because all the churches that on every corner, and the preachers and so forth, and the messages they bring. We need to keep these people, these lost people, in our prayer. And we need to try to continue to reach these people. And as Rut mentioned, 192 countries. And of course, we still have a lot of them that we cannot get into. Keep these in your mind, prayers that we can get to these people. And introduce them to Jesus Christ. I am here representing the Gideon organization, and hopefully if I can familiarize you just a little bit, but I think most everybody knows what the Gideons do. But we're trying to accomplish here, through the Gideons, and throughout the world, pretty much the same thing that you're doing here at Liesl Southern Methodist Church. And what is that? Very simply, to win the lost to Jesus Christ. As Rut mentioned, the Gideon organization was started back in 1899, so we're over 110 years old right now. We've been around a long time. Started by those two men, and I tell the story a lot of times. I can't really pick out somebody in here about my age, but I said, these two men up in Wisconsin, and you know the story. And I was one of them, and so-and-so was the other one, but I can't pick out another one here as old as I am to get my point across there. So that usually gets a little laugh, but anyway, that's the way it was started. And from this humble beginning, we've grown to an organization worldwide, 192 countries, made up of over 150,000 men. And these countries represent 3/4 of the world's population, which is over 4 billion people. I'll tell you about the country of Syria. The main thrust of our ministry is to make God's holy word available to as many people as we can. We believe in the power of God's word and that it can change the lives of anyone who may come in contact with it. Where do we place these Bibles? I think everybody's pretty familiar with that. Doctor's offices, you see them. Hospitals, schools, fifth grade, colleges, prisons, military, nursing homes, even attorney's offices. Places where people may have some problems, you know, either sick or other problems. But you see these Bibles all around, and they're used. I've been in a doctor's office a lot of times, and I may want to look for the Bible myself, and someone who hasn't read it. So they are used, and they do serve a real good purpose there. Yeah, these Bibles are translated into over 80 different languages to accommodate the people throughout the world. And I'm sure there's a lot that can't read those, but that's still a lot. So what we do as Gideons is rather simple, just like God's plan of salvation is simple. Salvation is not complicated. You don't have to be a college professor to understand. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You don't have to be a rich person to receive salvation. It's not something that's earned, not based on great accomplishments. You don't have to be elected or appointed. You don't have to be famous to be saved. It's free. And it's free because of what? Jesus paid the price. It's all made possible by the spilled blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 2:8, one of my favorite verses. And it tells us, "For by grace you are saved by faith, and not of yourselves." What is verse stressing that? It is the gift of God. And we should certainly treat it that way. Seeing these young people up there in the sermon reminded me back when I was about that age, about 100 years ago. One of the first songs I learned in Sunday school was one, "Jesus Loves Me." I think everybody knows that song. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And how do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. It's so simple, but this message is not heard. And we can't get this message out to these, all these people out there just waiting for the Bible. They don't know. They don't know. So it's our responsibility to try to let them know. So as we place these Bibles, you never know who will pick the Bible up and read from it and the effect it will have on them. Each person is different with a different problem. Drugs, alcohol, financial, marital, health, depression, spiritual, all kind of problems. We all have problems. And this little Bible can solve these problems if we just pick it up, read it, and digest it, and have faith in the Lord to take care of us. Romans 10, verses 13 and 14 tells us, "For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" Millions grope in darkness waiting for thy word. Don't like to talk about statistics that much, but since we began, Herod, we've distributed about 1.75 billion Bibles. That's a lot of New Testament, isn't it? Translated in 81 different languages. 1 billion Bibles every 6.5 days. Now, that's a lot of Bibles, and you're probably wondering now, have these Bibles reached certain people? Has it changed their lives? Bibles show up in the strangest places with a purpose and result. One of my favorite little stories is this. We passed out Bibles to the fifth graders. And this story goes like this. This is a Bible distribution to the fifth graders up in West Virginia. This little girl got a Bible, pretty much like the one right here, that right here. First Bible she ever owned. Couldn't wait to get home and show it to mom or dad. Couldn't wait for daddy to get home. He worked in the coal mine. He finally got home that day, and she rushed to him and said, "Look what I got in school today, in the Bible. I want you to read the Bible." And you know, like a lot of daddies, he said, "Well, honey, I'd love to, but I'm just so tired. I've been working all day, and I just don't have time. I don't feel like it today." But she was disappointed. The next night, she tried the same thing. Got the same answer. After about 3 or 4 days, she felt like she needed some company. The thought of change her daddy's attitude and feelings. So she decided to put the little Bible in his lunchbox. The next morning, the daddy left to go to work. He took his lunchbox and went on to work. And in his mind, and it sort of reminds me, here not too long ago, what trapped almost a mile in below the structure there. What did something happen to her daddy? And they had an explosion that day. And of course, he's trying desperately to get to her father and these other people that were working with him. They reached him, but it's too late. They had failed. But when he found them, they found them in a semi-circle.
Bible to these men and fellow workers. I don't know where you found a pencil way down for that deep in the ground. But you did find a pencil and you signed in the back of the Bible where he received Jesus Christ, his person's faith. I don't know, hopefully you get anything out of that story or not, but the test needed. You pass the Bible out and you never know what effect it's going to have. Who gave us off from a 52 room? This Bible ended up half a mile down the road, stuck through there, and then read it. But had accepted Jesus Christ, and he signed a little book.
So you never know.
I could tell stories all day. But another one that so impresses me is this. Over in Africa, we have these Bible distributions. And on this particular day, we were, the Gideons over there had gathered, and they were going to a particular place and pass out Bibles to the school children. Now, over there in Africa, in this particular location in Africa, they didn't have the roads like we have kind of here. So if you went from place to place, you either have to ride a bicycle or a scooter or a walk or whatever. So they're going to have this distribution, and they got word out that it's going to be in a certain place. And the word got out all around for miles to the school children. If they were interested in the Bible, they come to this place and they get a little Bible given to them. Well, there's a little village, and these people heard about it, these children, and they were so interested in God's Word and getting a copy of the Bible, they got up at 3 o'clock that morning. And how did they get there to this place of distribution? They walked 20 miles to get a copy of this Bible. And of course, they're going to walk there, they got to walk back. So they had another 20 miles. Can you imagine walking 40 miles to get a copy of that Bible? Hopefully, we take it for granted. But there's people in this world that have never seen it, never heard of it, and they're so interested. But yet, like these two children, they walk that 40 miles to get a copy of the Bible.
Over at Martha Dendy is passing out Bibles over there, and little fifth grader got his copy. About 5 minutes later, he came back and said, "Mister, can I have a copy for my daddy?" Over at Thormo's, we distributed them over there when it was school. And the principal, after they got the Bibles, these fifth graders, he said, "How about doing me a favor? Let's have a little sword drill. I'm going to give you my favorite verse in the Bible, and see how long it takes for you to find it." So he gave his little verse, and all about 3 or 4 minutes, one of them raised his hands and said, "I got it." And he read it to him. He said, "That's very good." And I said, "Okay, I've got a favorite verse in the Bible. Mine is John 3:16. And I want to see who can find it fastest." By the time I got John 3:16 out, one of the boys shot his hand. I said, "Boy, that's real good. I didn't know you could find it that fast in the Bible." He said, "Mister, I didn't have to find it. I knew it by heart." Isn't that something? You think these kids are not interested? They certainly are. We can go on and on and on. We pass out these Bibles to servicemen. And this particular serviceman, he was in Vietnam. And he had his buddies, and they were involved in a terrific fight, bullets flying everywhere one night. And the next morning, after the sun came up, they looked around, and of course, most of them were dead. But he was still alive. And he was still alive because he had been given a little testament like this and had it in his coat pocket. And a bullet found that little Bible, but it lodged about halfway through. It saved his life physically. And not only physically, it saved it spiritually also. You never know where these Bibles are going to show up. One day I was, forgot where I was now, but anyway, someone noticed a little pen here, the Gideon pen. He said, "I see you a Gideon." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, let me tell you a little story about what happened to me. He said, I was in Atlanta one night. I was in the hotel. And he said, now, I had problems. There's a lot of things I was doing that didn't please God. He said, I was a heavy drinker. I used to do all kind of things that I'm sure that God did not appreciate at all. He said, but I was there in that hotel room. I didn't have any money, but I had a thirst that I wanted some wine to drink or something with alcohol in it. He said, I had heard that sometimes Gideons would leave maybe a $5 bill in a Bible just to tempt someone to read the Bible in these places. He said, I rushed over to the drawer and I pulled out, opened the drawer, and there's the Bible that's in there. And I started looking for this $5 bill so I could buy me a cheap bottle of wine. He said, I didn't find the $5 bill, but I did find John 3:16. He said, now, that changed my life right there. And ever since, I've tried to live for the Lord, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I realized when reading that someone loved me so much that they were dying on the cross for me, just like he's dying on the cross for each one of us here. I could go on and on. I wish I had time, but Bibles show up in the strangest places. Franklin Roosevelt died suddenly, as you all know. I can remember right now where I was. I won't go into all that. But they had to swear in Harry Truman. And they got in the White House and started looking around. They couldn't find a Bible. They did find one, though. The little Gideon Bible was there. And Harry Truman was sworn in as president of the United States on the little Gideon Bible. You never know. You never know. We get stories every month. We get this publication and where people in prisons, all sorts of places, thinking about suicide and all these things. And just by reading that Bible, it changed their whole lives. One distribution, they didn't have but one Bible left. There's several little girls, and they just gave it to one of them, and they said, okay, I'll tell you what, since I didn't get a Bible, let's take that Bible and divide it into books. So they took the Bible, divided the books, and they said, okay, you got Matthew, you got Mark, you got Luke, you got John, and you read that, and it will stop. So isn't that something that people are that interested in the Bible, and we just take it so much for granted? All right, I would like to, let me read this right here. He has no hands but your hands to do his work today. He has no feet but your feet to lead men on their way. He has no lips but your lips to tell men how he died. He has no help but your help to bring men to his side. You're the only gospel this careless world would read. You're the sinner's Bible. You're the scoffer's creed. You're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line be crooked, and what if the type be burned? What am I doing here today? Well, we like to go to our churches, let them know some of the things we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish, because our goal is very much the same as yours. Save the lost people. What can you do as a church, Leesville Southern Methodist Church? First of all, you can pray for us. I believe that was mentioned earlier. Pray for the Gideons. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for these people who are in these foreign fields and reaching out and touching these people over there who've never heard of Jesus Christ. We need your prayers, and we know the power of prayer. And of course, Rutten mentioned also your contributions. Folks, this is one of the main ways that we can purchase Bibles. The churches have been cooperating with the Gideon since 1909, making contributions, helping us buy the Bibles. And I will say this, and this is not true from a lot of places that you give money to, 100% of what you give to the Gideons goes to the purchase of the Bible. A lot of places, maybe 10% of what you give goes to the cause, and the rest goes to the people who are supporting that cause. But all these other expenses are picked up by businesses and the Gideons themselves. 100% of what you give goes to the purchase of these little Bibles. Another way is the Living Memorial Bible Fund. But I'm not sure if y'all have a rack here with the little cards in them. Do you have that? I've got one in the car if you need it. And they've made an improvement on these cards where you can give them in memory of, recognition of, and so forth. And I will say this, flowers are great, beautiful. Flowers are only temporary, and I'm not saying let's don't just quit giving flowers. But I will say this, 1 Peter 12, verse 125, but the word of God endures forever. So I will keep that in mind. Back when I used to stay up with my granddaddy a long time ago, there was a radio personality from radio station in Spartanburg, WSPA, and some of you may remember him, but this personality was named Farmer Gray. I don't know if you remember him or not. But he would always close his program with a saying, "You plant the seed beneath the sod and wait for it to raise the clod. You trust in God." As Gideons, we plant the seed, the Bible. The sod will be the billions of people that we've received the Bible. And we as Gideons trust that the Scripture tells us what the Word does not return to him void. Let me leave you with this thought. After a little service like this, not too long ago, a little young fellow about 9 years old came up to me, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Mister, y'all sure do a lot of good with all those Bibles. I don't know if I've affected you in any way even close to that, but if I have, I've accomplished what I've came for. Mister, y'all sure do a lot of good with all those Bibles." But thank you very much. Appreciate you letting me come.
Thank you again for coming, Mr. Selman. We appreciate it so much, and y'all do a lot of good with those Bibles. Thank you. And today I thought it would be appropriate to ask another fellow from Janesville, Wisconsin, to have our benediction prayer. Tim, if you'll lead us.
It's just from right there where I was sitting, but I thought Rut didn't clarify how you say Beloit right. Sounds like a quarter hitting your toilet when you're standing over. That's how you say Beloit. But that's just a saying we have up there, Beloit the armpit, kind of like some place around here, but it's still a good thing that happened there. When that Rut asked me this, I didn't think anything of it until I really started thinking. I have never openly or publicly prayed in Janesville or Beloit. I do it here and don't even think about it. Who'd have known that? I still appreciate those two men. But at this time, I'd like to say a benediction. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you once again for coming, allowing us to come to this church. Thank you for Joyce's word this morning. She talked about fields, cleaning the fields, and Mr. Bob's last saying was the same thing. Plant the seed of Christ in the people that we know. Thank you for Matthew's words in the spirit of Christmas. I believe it is he who needs to apologize to Doc because he's realized he can do a children's sermon pretty darn good. And those kids appreciated the spirit of Christmas that Matthew brought to them. And for Mr. Bob, thank you for all the work you do with the Gideons. Thank you for the hard work of bringing all those Bibles to the people in 192 countries. For working for you guys' hard work that started back in 1999, how many millions or hundreds of thousands of people would not be able to work today. Thank you for you guys' continued hard work. Thank you for the money that goes to the Gideons to buy more Bibles for the people. And once again, let's remember our church members who were not able to be here today to hear the word. Let's remember Carl, Madge, the continued health of Don Copeland, Doc and Beverly as they're traveling. As Miss Ginger said this morning, keep Judy Gettings in our thoughts and prayers as she has a road to recovery ahead of her. And once again, let's always remember the Gideons, Mr. Bob Simmons, as they continue their path with the Lord and sowing for the future Christians. Thank you.